Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to the Fear of Podcast about the overlap between comedy and horror. My name is Sarah Morgan. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Sarah Morgan.
Hi, Kima Ball. How you doing?
I'm pretty cool, man.
Let's act like we just met.
Yeah. Whoa. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Hi. Wow. What are you doing in the studio?
Oh, man. I just appeared here. Sometimes I like to sneaky sneak. I'm a sneaky little sneaker. You turn around and I might be behind you. That's just how I am.
Yay. Oh, I'm so happy to see you. I don't know where to start. Tell me, like, so this is obviously a podcast about, like, fear.
This is a podcast?
What? Oh, that's, sorry. We just had some mics.
Yeah, this is different. It's unsettling. Okay, yeah. All right, cool. I can get into that headspace.
What did you think it was?
I just wanted to hang out, you know what I mean? I thought we'd just record it and we'd listen to it later.
And I bought all this amplification equipment.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry.
It's cool, though. That's fine. I definitely am down to be on your podcast.
Have you ever heard of it? I mean, you don't really do a lot of podcasts.
So. Yeah, I'm not sure what they are as a concept, but it seems cool. I like it. I like 2019. Podcast.
Podcasting.
You're talking about fear, but also comedy. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, there is, to me, as someone who isn't a stand-up, I think there's that stat, isn't there, that, like, people who... public speaking is like people's biggest fear, and their second is like dying in a fire
or
something.
It's weird. Yeah, it's like death. It's like losing someone, public speaking, and then death.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how is that Trump death? Do you talk about comedy related fear?
Yeah, why not? Talk about how you deal with, or do you get anxious before you go on stage? How do you?
Lately, I've been experiencing I've always experienced, like, tummy stuff in the way of fear. Like, the way I can best describe it is, like, I don't know if you've ever waited for your mom in the principal's office, but the shit that your stomach does.
Yes!
It's like, wah, I'm not here for it. And recently, that's been coming back into play.
Interesting.
So, sometimes I go through different, like, different ranges of, like, being good at, like, knowing what I'm feeling and being able to admit that. Mm. So knowing what I'm feeling and then being able to honestly say to myself, okay, but we're a bit anxious right now, and why are we anxious? Okay, and that's all right. And recently, cool. It's like I've gone into some kind of weird denial where I want to admit to myself I'm anxious, but then I just haven't eaten all day and now I have to take a really watery shit. And I'm like, cool, so we're nervous. All right.
Yeah. Your body is literally eating itself, you know, from the inside.
Yeah.
Like when your stomach gets all
it's
like...
It's so weird. And I'm like, this has become the sign at this point where I'm like, I can't, like, admit it to myself that I'm nervous about this. So instead, I'll just, like, listen to music. Like, I'll listen to, like, really hardcore hip-hop and get really pumped up. Nice. Like, fast tempo, heavy bass. I'm like, yeah. I'm the gangster of comedy. These are my streets. Trying to, like, pump myself up. So I'll just be listening to this music, trying to develop this, like, rational, irrational level of confidence. Mm. Like, trying to feel like Kanye.
Yeah, I saw your, as well as, like, millions of other things, like the Guilty Feminist and Femmes of Color comedy, which I'm going to talk about in a bit. And Shenanigans. But you also did a fucking TED Talk. That is cool.
Okay, it's really upsetting. This is a sore subject. Basically, it's still not up on the TED channel. So anybody who's watched it has watched it on my YouTube, which doesn't feature anything good. Like, you know what I mean? It's just that and, like, hidden video of me singing Ho Hey by the Lumineers, like, 5 years ago. I did, like, a cover, and now it's that's listed as private. Because as soon as I uploaded that, I was like, I need to see what else I've uploaded over the years because people are going to know. I'm real strange.
Amazing. But your TED Talk, tell me, your TED Talk was called What Can You Do?
Yeah, so that was like a strategic, like, clicky name.
Yeah.
But that was also way, way before he went to the White House.
Yeah.
It was literally, like at least 6 months before mm-hmm. all of the, like, recent madness.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, I didn't even think he was, like, confirmed as, like, bipolar, which is I have bipolar disorder, so that's what I was talking about in the talk or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, but don't be afraid of yourself or whatever. Super hypocritical shenanigans. But it's basically talking about how there are moments where I get quite nervous mm-hmm. and quite fearful, and then listening to a bit of like Kanye and like music with similar vibes will kind of like bring me up and perk me up, and I'm like, yeah, I could do this, we could do anything, ah, I am a god. Like,
I don't think there's anything wrong with channeling Kanye. Yeah, even though retrospectively we know. But also, you're talking about your own bipolar disorder, and if he also has bipolar disorder.
Yeah. So you know.
Yeah, and he obviously has gone to the dark side of it and is using his powers for evil. But
oh my God. He's like, manic man, do-do-do-do. Oh, it's wild, and I think that was also before. I had a sense, like, a while ago, I used to, like, blog a little. I was just typing, like, things that were, like, essays that also, like, I would pull, like, references. So it was kind of like, I'd be like, yeah, check this out if you want to see it, blah, blah, blah. So it was, like, a kind of academic bloggy thing, mm-hmm. but not, you know? And there was this one thing where I was, like, analyzing this album that Kanye had, The Life of Pablo, and I was listening to it. And I was like, you can hear signs of disassociation and all sorts of things in this music. And I was like, there's something going on with this man, and we should be very careful with how we deal with him and talk about him, because there's something very wrong. And that was, like, years before he put out some album where on the cover was, like, being bipolar is awesome, I hate it, or something like that.
Right.
Some shit like that.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, because I was listening to the music before I ever saw the thing, and People experience stuff, man.
Yeah.
But
Do you feel like having a diagnosis like that it was helpful to you?
Yeah, at the same time, it's all weird. I feel like it's definitely been helpful in helping me to, like, frame certain things and to understand, like, certain behaviors or, like, tendencies, and to be able to, like, put them in a lens of something. Because I think when you just going, I'm neurotypical, so why am I so fucked up? Like, you know what I mean? You're just like, whoa, apparently there's nothing going on here, but there's a lot going on here. So to be able to look at something and to go, okay, so as a person who's been diagnosed with this thing that there's no test for, but as a person that's been diagnosed with this thing, I can see that, hey, if I do something like that, not to judge myself.
Right.
Or maybe I should do these things, you know, rest well and eat well and exercise, or the fucking shit that we're all supposed to do, unfortunately. You know, I'm like, oh, hey, if I do that, then maybe I won't feel so anxious, or maybe I won't blah, blah, blah. So having a framework, I think, has definitely been helpful. But I think a huge part of, like, receiving a diagnosis is then going to destigmatize it within yourself and to not be so weirded out by the idea that you have a diagnosis that it, like, stops you from, owning it. Yeah, I definitely spent some time, like, in hardcore denial. And, yeah, now I don't know where I am. I think I'm just trying to, like, do good things.
Yeah. Well, you talk about it. You talk about it on stage. You're also, you know, you're kind of known for being, like, really honest and really fearless, and all the stuff people say about female comics when they just talk about their lives.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
they've not heard women talking about that stuff before.
I'm just like, I don't know, man. I feel like what happens when you just try to keep it real? You know?
Yeah. You talk about that stuff. That's really cool. Do you think...
Thanks, Morgan.
Yeah, I think you're an excellent stand-up comedian. You're very good.
We're learning. We're a baby. We're very new. We have a lot to learn. We're very excited to do so.
It's so funny that you think of yourself in that, because I think you've got... I mean, in such a short space of time... So let's go back to, like, you coming... Because you came to the UK, like, relatively recently, and then in that time, you've just, like...
September 16th.
You're fucking kidding me.
It's like, you've, really,
like, you've set up Femmes of Colour Comedy. Fuck it. Up.
fuck it up.
Beautiful. I love that pun.
Thank you. It's actually the work of my flatmate, who's brilliant. Uh-huh. And I was like, it's Femmes of Color. Femmes of Color. I was like, it's F-O-C. We're like, F-O. We're like, fuck something. We're like, mm-hmm. fuck. Something's fuck. There's fuck. There's mm-hmm. fuck there. And my flatmate actually runs the Cocoa Butter Club, which is a yeah. cabaret company of performers mm-hmm. of color. And so it was, I think, my work with the Cocoa Butter Club and my work with the Guilty Feminists that mm-hmm. kind of definitely spawned Fuck It Up. Because for me, it's like both of them in a blender with other elements, where the Guilty Feminist was like, I want to give, femmes in comedy, women, trans, non-binary people a space to, like, work together and whatever. And I just noticed that there was so much convo in the green room and stuff that was often like, why have I never worked with you? Mm. There were all these comics who were like, I've never been on a lineup with you. That's insane.
Yeah,
and these talented women who have been doing this, 5, 10, 15 years that haven't been able to spend that time with each other. And I was like, I don't think women of color really get that, as we're also tokenized on these lineups.
Oh, yeah.
We don't get that green room moment to talk about that one show or that promoter that makes us feel a little weird or this cool opportunity that we saw. Like, these moments, we're missing out on them. So I just kind of wanted to create a space for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like really shaking things up. Like, I think it's interesting. Do you feel like...
It's so simple as well.
So simple.
It's so fucking so magical, simple. And you go, why hasn't anyone done this? And now I'm getting all this like love and respect for being the person who's done this. And I'm like, guys, it's so... Like, you know what I mean? It takes like a pinch of bravery to say we're prioritizing the experience of people of color on stage and off. It takes like a smidge of, to just say, and hey, that's what it is.
Do you think of yourself as being like a threat, like scary? Because I think there are people in the world who are genuinely scared of
God.
And your comedy and Femmes of Color.
I know, Smorgan. What's amazing to me about it is, guys, like, I feel like people have looked at me, like, there's some people that I work with on the reg, you know, and there's some women of color even who will look at me and be like, whoa. And I'm like, guys, it's not that serious. Mm. If we were in America, I'd be normal. Like, you know what I mean? The idea that you're looking at me at Radical says more about what's going on here. Because I'm not even doing anything. Mm. I say white people sometimes. Mm. Jarring. Like, you know? But, like, so for me, it is really interesting. Also, the idea that something I found interesting was the idea that my being around certain people in certain spaces might be some kind of, might be seen as some kind of vouching for them or whatever, or also being seen as some kind of like hyper woke thing when it's just like, no, I'm just learning, and I find it important that we all try to learn, you know, but I don't know all of the good bits. And I always say, like, all your faves are problematic, like all your faves are problematic, including me. It's interesting seeing kind of like the perception that people have. I've found a lot of, like, empowerment, strength, and also just learning things within, like, feminist spaces. I think people do too much to, like, prescribe certain things to certain people and to be like, whoa, you're so socially conscious. It's like, I watch a shit ton of trash TV. Yeah. I don't know what happens on the news. Please don't give me too much credit.
Yeah, why the fuck are you in charge of it as well?
That's, you know what I mean? I had to teach myself what referendum meant recently. Like, I don't need this for you guys.
Like, yeah, why the fuck?
I'm just a silly girl who thinks that other femmes of color should get paid for their opinions because comedy is an interesting industry that takes a bit of skill and confidence and a point of view. And I feel like if we can empower, femmes of color and empower them, give them, you know, whatever, help with that confidence and get them some money for their opinions, that's what's up.
Yeah, I can see why that's terrifying, yeah.
But I'm like, people are out here, being very influential with their thought. People are crediting too much to comedians. I'm like, whoa, what a great thinker. Oh, my God, wow. Like Dave Chappelle, like, oh, whoa, he really just framing things in a different way. And it's just like, yep, that way is gross, guys.
I think there's an interesting thing, though, where you can tell that someone is scared of something if they try and sort of, like, undermine it and be bored by it, because it's brilliant. If there's a great video of you and Sophie Duca talking about your periods on online. It's so funny.
Period dramas. Which was a cool thing to do, but every time I talk about it, I know this. The production team was all dudes, and I don't know who allowed them to make that.
It's amazing.
I don't know who permitted them. They were doing the pre-production like interview, and I was telling them, like, I was like, oh, I want to talk about this thing, and blah, 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 my IUD. And he was like, what's an IUD? And I was like, how are you making this project? Who let you do this?
Oh, God. Yeah. The comments on it are all just like, oh, why do you have to hear women talking
so
about
gross.
This?
And I don't know, because honestly, because some men asked me to. Exactly. Because some men offered me money to do so. That's why.
But I think the more excluded certain people are from the conversation that you're having, because you're just having a conversation between you, the more threatened they get, because it's like, but everything in the world's for me.
Come
on. If this isn't for me, because it's not about me and stuff I'm interested in, am I invisible? Am I dead? Am I a ghost?
Yeah.
Because
what?
These two women seem to be getting on fine without me, and I don't understand.
What is happening?
I demand to see the manager.
Exactly. I demand to see the manager.
Tell me about how you came to the UK in the first place in 2016, which is like yesterday, so stop it at once.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so weird. Also, like, I need people to understand that I've only been doing, like, I was doing improv before I got here, but I've been doing stand-up, like, a little while after I got here. Like, one of my goals for myself in December of 2016 was to do stand-up in London. I was like, you just need to go out and be brave and do this. And, like, I had gone up maybe, like, 3-4 times before that in spaces that were not good for me in L.A. But basically how I ended up here was
LA's horrible for stand-up.
Oh, my God. It's horrible for most things. It was horrible for my little crippled self-esteem. I was literally, for my weak self-esteem.
You're pointing at me like, now I'm back on track. It's fine, just talk.
No, I was like,
hooray.
No, I was like, did I say crippled? And I was like, I don't use that word.
Is that a word?
Like,
oh, okay.
I was like, we gotta cut that out, Sam.
I will cut out the word crippled. I think crippling is fine as a word.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know, Sarah, and that is the fear. That is the real fear.
So you might say a word.
You might say naughty things.
Yeah.
That's literally, I feel like the guilty feminist is kind of like,
oh, man.
That, and it's not hard because I'm generally, like, I don't say a lot of, like, fucked up stuff, you know what I mean? But I think that kind of thing of being like, oh, what? You know, it just makes you check yourself, which is low-key a gift in itself, which is to have that kind of mentality of, like, being considerate and not compromising your shenanigans, but going, like, hey, hold on, is that a language going to, like, alienate someone in a fucked up way?
Which is definitely not the same as you can't say anything these
days,
which is what people think is going on with stand-up. It's like, you literally can say anything. You can say it, you are saying it really loudly now into a microphone.
Can't, you just said it, and then you said that you can't say it, but you just say it. No, this makes sense.
Sorry, we were talking about you coming to the UK. What prompted that? Because you were doing UCB, right, in LA?
So basically I graduated with a theater degree in Texas, but I was like, the theater does not connect to me. I was like, my family and friends don't go to the theater. Why would I try to spend my life on the stage in that way? But I was like, I do like entertainment. I do like, more than anything, the power of entertainment, not just the idea of entertaining people. Like, making people laugh is fun, but it's not everything. You know, I like telling people something.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes making them laugh is like a caveat. It's like a requirement of telling them something the way that I'm currently allowed to tell people things. You know?
I know. Yeah.
Like, I have to. There's not enough jokes in there. But yeah, so I was like, theater's lame. I don't know. I was like, I think I'm going to do something else. And then I moved to LA and I was like, these people are scary. I was like, everybody's so hot. I don't know who I am. I was like, everybody's so talented. Well, I thought I was a green-haired girl. Why are there 10 green-haired girls with my same face?
What?
Like, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Just feeling like whoever you are and all the things that you've kind of held on to, I think it kind of shakes it. So any advice I ever have for anyone moving to LA is, know what you want. Like, as best you can, know who you are and what's important to you, because it'll shake your shit up. And my shit was already in bad shape. And I was looking at TV work online, and I was like, I think I want to work in television. I don't think that. And I was like, in front, behind, what is any of this? No one will let me in front. No one will let me in front. No one let me in front. Am I good enough to be in front? Who am I in front even? And then I was looking at jobs that I I wasn't qualified for, like, production manager. And I was like, yeah, I've never been a manager, but I do understand the concept of production. So basically how I moved here was to pursue a master's in television because I was like, I don't know enough about what I think I want to work in. Do I cool. even want to work in that? Yeah. But also, I studied abroad in London in 2014. Nice. And I really, really liked it. And that wasn't like an easy thing to do. I was like, Mom, I really want to get out of this country for a bit. I think studying abroad would be great for me and blah, 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 blah. And so we like scraped monies together. And I came, I left. And when I left, I was like, I really want to go back. I was like, I really like that place. There's something about it. Cool. Yeah, so made my way back.
I don't know. Yeah. So you came to the UK and you studied production.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So basically the first set that I did out in L.A., one of the first ones was at this club where the audience was looking for some different kind of humor. And I was like, yeah, I'm looking for a job and it's hard. It's sad out there. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm hungry. And I was like, and today I went to an interview at a bikini bar because I thought that maybe if I couldn't find a job with my clothes on, that would help. It didn't. And they were like, not in the space for it. And to be fair, I was real sad. But I was finding my feet and it wasn't allowing me space. And I feel like if I were to try to hone my skills there, I would be a very different person on stage. And I'm really happy to be here where... You know, people are just like, tell us stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Oh, Black American one. I was like, whatever. Cool.
So let's talk about your choices.
Cheers.
Tell me about your... I love this. Normally before, sometimes before I record, people tell me what they're going to bring in and talk about. So I do a bit of research and stuff like that. So I have no idea what you're going to talk about.
Yeah,
I know
happening.
One thing. I know the one word that you said to me. The thing that you were scared of, your scary, favorite scary film moment is.
Well, all of the Leprechaun series. Basically, there were all these like movies that would come on like daytime, like regular network TV. And, like, all these movies would come on, like, whether it be, like, late at night or the middle of the day, and they would just abuse the leprechaun. Like, I don't know how much... I think the, like, money for, like, was it? Whenever you play something over and over.
Royalties
or whatever. Yeah. I feel like those fees must have been super low or something because they were just playing that shit over and over. And it just scared me. Like, the X-Files scared me, but also that freaked me out. You see Nightmare on Elm Street, but that leprechaun, he was like climbing out of the bottom of a tree stump. It was just really weird. His face was so creepy.
The luck of the Irish is being packed and shipped to a little town in South Dakota whose luck may have just run out.
It's got that kind of unsettling thing of like it being a comedy.
Yeah,
and it
but
being,
is it?
Yeah,
is
it's
that
sort
my
of,
one?
Like it's slightly camp and slightly, but then it's like Warwick Davis.
I couldn't
Davis.
Clock that as yeah. a child, and I haven't seen it since.
Exactly,
because,
you bypass
yeah,
us when you're a kid. You don't get that it's
terrifying.
Meant to be satirical.
Yeah, and when I was Googling it earlier this morning because I was like, I'm going to send a clip or something, and to see that it said comedy just, horror, I was like, what's funny? Yeah, and it's something weird about it, because it's not like it is horrifying in itself.
Oh my God.
It's it, but, like, also cross-represented with me as a child who's just, like, afraid of shit.
Yeah, because it's got that thing about it that's, like, you're sort of not meant to be too freaked out by this, and it's kind of like camp. But if you're a child, you don't understand what camp and funny and ridiculous is.
Yeah, I'm the kind of person, I was like, this guy is over the top terrifying.
I'm just finding random clips on YouTube that are, the thing, it's like,
dude.
Okay, so here's Jennifer Aniston with a leather jacket and a shotgun. So she's looking...
So wild.
Yeah. But it's full 80s, like, oh no, 93, Jesus.
Yeah, so I was born in 94.
This is pre-Friends. You were born in 94.
Yeah, I don't like to talk about it.
All the way up. is your email address Kimabob 94.
Kimabob.
I could have given birth to you, Kima, and that worries me.
That's very exciting. That's really cool for you because you're a cool lady.
Yeah, you got to stop saying
you know what I mean?
Okay, so we're just watching Jennifer Aniston pulling up a well. I mean, she's...
Why would she do that, though? You know what I mean?
I think there's a kind of weird plot line where it's like she's got to find... his gold for some
also,
reason.
Also, I'm an only child, so a lot of this viewing is done alone.
Yeah.
I'm a freak. And I'm the kind of person that, let's just say, I just started Stranger Things a couple months ago.
Right.
Because I was afraid it was too scary when season one came out.
I'm pausing it now because I can't see anything exciting happening. No. It's just Jennifer Aniston.
It's just spooky, man. Yeah. Like, for me, I think, yeah, I don't know, scary stuff. I'm just like, life is terrifying enough.
Yeah, you don't like a scary film?
No, not too much. My flatmate has actually desensitized me to it. And recently, I was thinking about some people I know that really love horror. And some of them have been people that, like, their lives have been, like, traumatic enough.
Mm.
And I'm like, are you chasing bigger thrills?
Yeah. Well, no, that's the, I think there's some, like, you know? There's like, is there some kind of like there's like a safe space kind of thing with it. Where,
yeah.
Like for me, I mean, I love horror and I love scary things and I love, but it, for me, it's like the synthetic, like fake
yeah.
version. But actually there's kind of one the thing that occurred to me this morning, and you may disagree with this highfalutin theory I have, because you do drag, right?
I love falutin.
Yeah. Do you love a highfalutin theory?
I'm my favorite.
This is my highfalutin theory. You do drag, right?
Yeah.
You're a drag king called Lil Testes.
It's true.
Fucking amazing.
He has a huge dick with yeah. little testes.
And he's like, I love it. But I heard you talking about it on, you were saying like you were kind of annoyed how much women are attracted to.
Yeah.
Tell me about little
testes.
Scary.
It's like, honestly,
like weird...
that's scary for me.
Yeah.
Which is to see like people be so attracted to this, like me doing like a male embodiment. Like yesterday, someone was like, but I feel like, you know, he's like a part of you or like he's in you somewhere. And that scares me as a concept.
Because you're going, well, you go to a really dark place with him where it's like you're wearing like a Cosby jumper.
You know what I mean?
And like you look really hot. You're like a really hot dude. And you're just like...
skeevy.
Just absolutely
so skeevy.
But to me, you see that... I love drag kings because they're like a safe space.
Yeah.
They're this. It's like watching a horror film where it's like you are saying, as Lil Testy's doing, like saying the most gross, like misogynist, like all the kind of scary shit that women think, men think about them all the time. And because you're saying it, it's like...
We're
it's
allowed
safe.
To laugh.
It's safe and we're allowed to laugh. And it's like... And
it scares me sometimes though, like...
Do you enjoy it? Just get you because you like it too much.
I have fun. So for me, I have fun exploring less than exploring like maleness or this problematic dude, because I didn't want to portray like a sexy guy or like some drag kings are like, oh, this would be an ideal gentleman. You know what I mean?
Yes, I love those.
You
know? Just like the perfect drag.
Like, I'm a nice guy. And I'm like, no.
They're like, well, a traditional drag queen who's just like, everything that's one the best things about women, like blown up to 1,000.
I'm a beautiful lady and I'm graceful and elegant.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have nice titties. Like, I was like, no.
So you're not doing that. You're doing like the worst
thing. A ghost guy. And I think what freaks me out about, like doing that, because for me it's like somewhat channeling something, but somewhat a character. Like he's a character.
Yeah.
I've, you know, made these choices, and then beyond the choices, it's kind of free flow, right? But yeah, people getting attracted to him too much freaks me out because I'm like, I'm hot, right? Am I hot? I'm hot. But also people, I think I have stuff tied up around like gender and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I feel very much like a woman.
Mm.
A lot of buds that I have, their exploration of drag is a bit deeper. And I think I'm also a person who I very much feel like I like I'm like into dudes and love some dick, but I have an internalized like homophobia bit where I don't know if I could even admit to myself if I was a lesbian. Like, so I have this huge fear about like a lot of people I know who through doing drag have been like, you know what, I feel like I'm non-binary, or some of my friends who are like, whoa, hold on. That was like one of the first steps in them finding themselves as a trans man.
Mm.
And so I'm just like freaked out by people getting too into him or feeling like he's too much me.
Oh, you think it might send you over to the pan side?
I don't know. Like, I'm just like, what? I'm just like, don't look too deeply into it. But it's my internalized shenanigans, I think.
I love that. I mustn't dress up as a guy and say sexy things to women.
I must not have too much fun. Like, I'll take off my makeup not too long after, but also I've had someone, like, I've dated someone who met me while I was in drag, and then we were like doing stuff, and they were like, they're like, I just want you to like tap into that little testes.
This is a dude or a lady?
It was a non-binary person. Oh, okay. And I was like, little testes doesn't come here. I was like, little testes does not come here. Mm. Little testes is real. So, yeah, I just have a lot of weird feelings about it. Mm. And I'm thinking about doing him at the Fringe next year. A lot of people are like, Kima, oh, debut? Mm. And I'm like, no, I'm not in the mood. I would love to get better at comedy first. I was like,
so sensible.
I was just like, no, I'm all right, actually. I'm okay, thanks. But what gets me excited and I think would be really fun is like him.
Yeah.
But my fear with that is that people will really enjoy him and enjoy me less.
Give me an example of the kind of, like, the sort of thing he says or does that's, like, you know, as a joke and you think people are taking kind of too seriously.
It's tough because it can be anything. Like, even there's one, I think one big thing that was a huge reservation for me initially was that people would see him as a portrayal of black men and not a specific man, you know? And initially, I did a performance in a space where I usually wouldn't. So it was kind of a pubby type thing. Mm. It wasn't like a lot of the drag I was doing earlier was in queer spaces because that's where that's where a lot of drag happens.
Sure.
And that was a bit safer, where still you might fear that he was being fetishized for being like a gangster-y black man, you know.
Yeah.
But you do what you can to wiggle around that. And in this place, there was a guy who was like, yo, 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 testes, my man. He was like, oh shit, and like doing all the worst things that like a white dude could say.
Oh god, a white dude.
Yeah. Oh, he was like, yo, testes, oh, and I was like, this is so gross. And I was like, I feel like in this moment I've somehow empowered you to say this shit to me.
Yeah.
So I think some of my fear is that also I don't want any black men in the audience, but at the same time, they wouldn't be, because they would know that it's not them.
Yeah,
you know
it's
what
like
I mean?
A cartoon, yeah.
Yeah,
like
so it's just, there's some stuff in that, and then in the, like, sex stuff, with I think from that experience of someone being like, yeah, I just want, just let little testes take over, and I was like, no! There's a lot of weird feelings tied up in that guy.
Yeah.
I just don't want people to get so excited, because people, like, love drag. Like, I think, like, people are just so tickled by the idea and, like, gender play and all sorts of stuff like that, but I don't want people to get so excited about little testes, because I do him pretty well. Like, when I'm in the zone, I am in the zone, but I don't want people to get so wrapped up in him that when I am like, hey, I think I'm ready to do like a cool show, people are like, where's your beard, bitch?
Yeah, where's the character? That does
do you
happen
know what I mean?
I think that used to happen.
You
with,
don't
with...
matter anymore. We want your man self, but that's not me. I'm a cute girl.
My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to. Keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Ah, oh, interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great apps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot.
we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What were you scared of as a kid?
Besides the leprechaun.
Besides the leprechaun.
I remember, so I was afraid, I had some shit to be, I feel like, afraid of. One of the things that still gets me, I would say, but then really gripped me, was death and, like, my own, but other people's. And I remember specifically, my dad was dropping me off at my grandma's house, and I don't know what I had seen that day or felt or whatever, you know, but as he was, like, leaving, I was just like, don't go, what if you don't come back?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what if you die? And my dad, which this is hilarious, you could tell, like, he was just fucking trying. He's so emotionally stunted. But it was so funny, like, in the moment, I was like, what if you die? And I was like, I don't want you to go, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, you don't have to worry about that. And he was like, I'm not going to die until I'm very old, which doesn't help. And then he made it worse, and he goes, how old are you? And I was like, I think I was like 8 or some shit, right? And he was like, I'm not going to die until I'm 88. And I was like, what is this 11 math? Like, you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to multiply. And I was like, great, now I'm just counting down until fucking 88. But it was just a really interesting moment. And I remember it specifically because it was someone having to, like, calm down my fear before leaving, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't walk out the door, like, without, do you know what I mean, trying to, yeah, soothe that in a really weird way of being like, oh, I'm going to do some death math.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what's weirdest is, like, for someone who's so kind of freaked out by the concept, like, I remember, like, a little, tiny little narcissist crying because I didn't want me to end. I was like, I don't want to be gone.
I love it.
And I was like, what do you have to do? What do you have to contribute to society to not be gone?
Be a stand-up.
You know what I mean? I won't, like, I can't, like, say for sure, not for sure, but that's probably a part of this issue with, like, like, being like, I would like to make a stamp. I would like to make a mark on the world because I'm going to die and I hate that fact.
Oh, God, I love it.
Yeah, I fucking cried. Like, I remember just crying, like, at night and just being like, we're all going to die. I'm going to die.
Did you have any, like, pets? Did you have that thing where your parents, like, prepared you for death with, like, a pet?
Ugh, not really. I mean, I had pets. I remember, like, my favorite dog, Amber, was dying. For someone who's so afraid of death, I'm really weird around it. Like, me at, like, a funeral or whatever, really odd. Like, I don't know, man. When it comes to, like, actual death, I'm like a psycho. Like, and, like, I'll, like cry and stuff. Like, genuinely, like, I'll, like, think about it and, like, cry. But, like, I don't know. I'm just, like, the weirdest funeral person. Like, I'm definitely making jokes. Like, yeah. I'm like, am I a sociopath when it comes to actual death?
How so? What do you mean? What do you do at funerals?
I feel like I'm just like, there have been people in my family, basically, who have died where I felt like I should have cared more.
Right.
Like, I'm like, I should be more sad. Why am I just actually bored at this funeral? Like, I feel like you guys are crying, and maybe I should cry too. But I'm actually afraid of, like, the day when, you like, a funeral comes and, like, I do care. I'm like, I've showed all these feelings. Like, my grandpa's funeral was mostly just hilarious.
Really? Yes.
Because we found out that there were more people in our family than anyone had ever acknowledged.
Go on.
Yeah, I found out that my dad, who's supposed to be the youngest, has four younger siblings.
What?
Nobody told me about this. Even more hilarious, because one of my uncles, before finding out who was that, tried to hit on me outside of the service.
One of your uncles?
Yeah. We were, like, outside. It was, like, a small, weird moment. But it was interesting, because whenever, like, my dad was like, yeah, this is my daughter. Mm. This is your uncle. He was like, oh, word? I was like, yeah, old guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a good hit rate if you're at a funeral. If you hit
you
on
know
someone,
what I mean?
They're going to be your relation, right?
Yeah. There's a great possibility of that. But this man was reckless.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Well,
that's spooky.
I like this weird soap opera life, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's a fucking movie. I knock on wood a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes people will be like, death. And then I'm just like, knock, 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 knock. So knock, knock, knock. My current fear is insanity.
Wow.
Yeah. I talk about in the TED Talky thing, but I've had one manic episode, like a big thing.
Yeah.
That kind of set all of the like mental health diagnosis, stuff in action, medication, different things, even my awareness of my own state of mental health. I feel like you don't do yourself any favors by, like, holding on to a fear or by ruminating over the idea of something happening. But losing my shit terrifies me.
Mm.
Just the idea of not being in control terrifies me.
Mm.
And it's so scary. And then it makes you, like I'm actually afraid of myself, or that there's a part of myself that maybe I like won't be able to control or something, and it's just like the worst.
Oh my God, that sounds
it is shitty, and it's in me, you know. And like I feel like the worst part about that fear is I feel like the more you focus on it, fixate on it, the more power you give it, the more you're almost manifesting that insanity.
Yeah, that makes completely, like, don't think about the thing that...
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes completely
thinking
sense.
About going nuts will drive you nuts.
So what are your coping mechanisms for this?
I cry.
Good, yeah.
I scream a lot. I lash out. Fabulous. I think it's important to lash out.
Yeah.
Anybody not lashing out, start lashing immediately.
It'll feel so much Have a good lash.
What I've been trying to do, and what I was trying to get going before the Fringe, but kind of, I think, Le Fringe kind of threw... it throws everyone to a spiral. And I wasn't even there the entire time, but I feel like my sense of, like, routine or kind of calmness was, like, thrown into a blender, and it's not the same. But what I was trying to get going... was being in my body a bit more, and just trying to do things that like actually like make me feel good, and so working out, but not in a weird like going to the gym and like lifting stuff since because I don't know how to do that and that scares me.
Yeah,
like walking to the gym, like walking to the gym is probably more terrifying than if I like walked into like a chemistry lab.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I'd be like, ah, cool, sulfur dioxide. Like, but meanwhile, I'm looking at like a 10 kg weight, and I'm just like, what is a kg? Like,
yeah, no, gyms are fucking horrible.
I don't know what this means.
I mistrust people who go to the gym unless they're a gay man, because obviously then they
you know
can
what
fuck
I mean? Unless it makes sense. Cool,
yeah.
You have your reasons.
Yeah.
I fucking it's terrifying. Like,
I love exercise though. Exercise is like. so good.
That seems cool.
But the whole thing about looking after your brain is it's like when you realize that there's a thing that's fueling your brain is like your mm-hmm. body, which is like where the
Whoa,
blood goes, right?
And you're
like,
too much. This is too much.
I know, but that's what that took me until I was like 35 to realize that.
Well, because people don't talk about it.
Because I'm a nerd, I should also worry about the body that is supporting your brain. Like,
there's a conversation that I've been having quite a bit recently, which is people don't talk about when people talk about exercising and stuff, or even diet and how you eat, not diet. That's such a weird word, but literally means what you're eating. Mm. But like when people talk about what you eat and how you move, it's often in relation to the physical appearance of your body and their perception. Like even one of my friends recently, and we have a relationship where we like joke and stuff, and so I know that she meant, and we've had this conversation even, but she was like, girl, what you been, not been eating or something? She's like, what's going on? And I was like, what's up? What do you mean? And she was like, you talk about my legs and stuff. He was like, you talk about my waist and stuff. And she was like, I just feel like it's a lot of definition going on there, a lot of tone. You know what I'm saying? And like, it was funny. She was like, have you not been eating because you look toned?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it couldn't just be that you've been like,
no.
You know,
oh, well, she knows it didn't exercise. Oh. But the conversations I feel like that we often have or that we hear around exercise has to do with like how you look or like abs, you know, and like tight thighs. So switching the conversation, like recently a lot of my friends have been talking about how, and some of my friends with bipolar disorder have been talking about how exercise and stuff has like made them feel a bit more at peace, you know. A bit more energy in a positive way or whatever. And then other friends, you know, talking about how working out makes them feel strong and capable.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I'm like, oh, shit, I do not.
I'm really into the kind of the kind of weird secret army that people seem to be building, where suddenly all my friends who wanted to be thin now want to be, like, buff. They want to be, like, ripped, like, fucking hench, to quote Jessica
Fortescue. So strong,
They want to be, like, muscle superwomen. And it's like, what are we training for? Because I'm in, whatever it is. I want to look like Sarah Connor from Terminator 2.
It's the gender war, fam.
Yes, what are we? Well, you're on.
It's the gender war.
It's the gender war. We're going to be, like, so fucking ripped
I always joke around. I'm like, I got to learn how to swim. I got to start reading more, blah, blah. And these are things that I want to do for like my own blah 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 blah, but I like to joke that it's because of the race war, and I'm like, if the race war happens, all they have to do is put me in a body of water. We've lost a soldier, you know what I mean? And then I'm like, I gotta be well read because stereotypically racists don't want me to be well read. So white supremacy and mental health are my only motivations. It's so messed up.
You need fuel for something.
Yeah, I'm like, I need better cardio just in case I have to outrun racism.
Yeah. The concept of racism.
I'm not fit enough to outrun racism.
There's worse things to outrun than like my own past mistakes and the patriarchy.
Oh, God, can we outrun them? Oh, I want it.
Let's try and get our 5K up. Get on Runkeeper. Let's see. There should be a button on Runkeeper that's just like the patriarchy is
winning. Speed up. Be quick in that pace. Yeah. Wow.
Every mistake you've ever made is 5K behind you.
Oh my God. Oh.
Jesus Christ.
It's weird, man. But I feel like there's so much fear to be had, and I really, I want to work my way out of it and kind of empower myself.
Yeah, what's the answer? Because this is a podcast about fear, but it's not about like fear being like a good thing. It's what we can learn from it and what we can laugh about at it and kind of all go. I feel like if we can all look each other in the eye and go, yeah, I'm fucking terrified at the moment, then it's then it's okay.
I think that's something I've felt in the air recently also is people trying to like realizing that other people are in very similar boats and trying to keep it a bit more real. It's almost a trend if people are like allowing themselves to be vulnerable with each other and being like, hey, can we do this? Because we've not done this, and it's been hurting me. I feel like, for me, a huge part of the fear, or, like, trying to combat my current fear, has been about talking. Like, I recently got my IUD ripped out. I would say removed, but that's not what it felt like. Ooh. You know what I mean?
She
that shit out. She was like, cough. I was like, what the fuck? It was horrible. Well, I realized that I've been on birth control. I got prescribed birth control as Oh, because I was on Accutane when I was a teen. Mm-hmm. And Accutane is like a hardcore acne medicine that like dries out your shit and like fucks up your body.
Wow.
It's actually really interesting the measures that people have gone through to clear their skin. Like Accutane, you have to be on birth control if you're on it. Because it will give your kid, like, severe burst effects.
Oh, jeez.
It's that serious of a fucking acne medication. Mm. It's hardcore. The things that I've fucking done for dermatology. but, yeah, so I was prescribed birth control at, like, 15, and I've been on it for the past 10 years, like, consistently, whether it be, like, a pill, which luckily, I was so excited to move on from those because I can't remember to do anything daily. Mm. You know, pill, NuvaRing, the one in the arm, the IUD one. Mm. I realize I've been on this for a long time and I don't know how that's impacted my mental health. So
interesting, because you've always had hormonal,
for 15 years.
So interesting.
Yeah, so just kind of, so trying to not understanding that there's only so much control I can have over the situation, and that by trying to be in control, by being afraid of, like, losing control, that's not helping.
Well, yeah, you're sort of kind of handing your body over to, like, this kind of irrational, like, massive estrogen or whatever, you know, the stuff that happens around the... Yeah,
for
you're like,
years,
this
and
is
I
my brain.
No
this
idea.
Is my brain on estrogen.
Yeah, the effects.
Yeah.
So just kind of removing that... from the equation and just seeing what that's like. And what's interesting is my mom is diagnosed with bipolar disorder. My grandma is diagnosed, but I don't let that define me. great. Phenomenal. It's great to know for my medical forms, though. Can we define it then?
Yeah, yeah.
madness. But my mom just got off of a birth control thing recently, and she was like, she feels less nuts, and I'm like, one, it's definitely too soon to tell.
Yeah.
But also, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, she's been off it not a really long time. But so having this idea removed, thinking about it, but also talking about it with my flatmates and with my flatmate and, you know, a person that, like, she's seeing or whatever, and just kind of being like, and I'm wondering how this is going to affect me. And there's also something called the Mirena crash, which a good amount of people experience when they remove their Mirena, something progesterone, who fucking knows. There'll be, like, a dip in you feeling happy. A solid amount of people experience this, and whether it be for a short period of a few days to, like, a few months, it can be so low a dip that you feel suicide-y. And the idea that removing the birth control could result in this whole thing, terrifying.
But you at least have the comfort of knowing that it's,
that
like...
it's a thing.
It's a thing. It's not
and
you. It's not your
it
brain.
With people,
it's like
I've talked thing. About it with, you know, folks. And what was really cool is one of the responses... from the person that my flatmate was seeing, she was just like, well, you know it's a thing, so you can, like, try to keep an eye on it and, like, talk to us type thing. And I was just like, whoa. Mm. You know? A bit of fear lifted.
How cool is that, though, to be able, like, to know that you can just go up to someone to go, having a bit of a weird day?
Yeah.
I think it's because I have my IUD out. And not being like that guy on the, from the BBC who didn't know what an IUD was, the people around you just going like, oh, cool. Do you want some chocolate?
It's that bit. And I think conversation has been really important.
Yeah. Can, like, I find you a relaxing thing on Netflix,
you know,
to watch?
Yeah.
Or just chill?
Or even just like, just being like, I don't even know what's going on. I feel really weird to be like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
It's so cool how it turns out the world doesn't stop turning if you just say to someone, yeah, no, there's something going wrong with my brain today and I just need to be away from people. And it's so much better than, like, you could just make up, you could just go, I've got the flu or I've got a, but sometimes it's just
you
like.
You could also show up and be really unpleasant.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, which I try not to do.
You know, shove it down and then try to be pleasant, but then, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it's like whack-a-mole. You can't, like, you bash one, like, I'm going to be, like, super empowered, and then, like, some other horrible part of your personality pops up. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of my decisions might be dictated by that fear at the moment.
Interesting.
A solid amount, but I would say not really in a horrible way, because I'm working to minimize it.
Mm.
And I think I want to be at a place of acceptance where also one thing that's helped me understand what's going on is that shit doesn't happen for no reason.
Mm.
And coming to understand that has been really beautiful because, like, if someone's, like, depressed, even though they might not be able to explain it, some shit went down. You know what I mean? And whether it's something that... say someone else would react to, and maybe it's something that was not such a big deal to someone else, actually is a big deal to them.
Yeah.
And maybe they can't admit it to themselves that it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? But, like, there are always, there are reasons why shit goes down. You know, when I'm feeling really, really stressed out and whatnot, it's not for no reason. It's because I don't know where my money's at and I gotta pay my rent.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, shit happens for a reason. Heartbreak. It's still hard for me to acknowledge how much space that takes in my, you know.
Oh, man. A breakup is like a fucking...
Oh, my God.
Bad illness. Like, you're physically fucked up. You're mentally fucked up.
It wasn't until...
You make crazy decisions.
Yeah, it's... Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. Someone told me recently that they had a breakup, and they were like, yeah, I think they were talking to me about... why they feel like they have a good relationship with their agent or something. And they were like, blah, 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 really understands me. Like, recently I had, like, quite a bad breakup. And, you know, when I, like, I told them about it and they blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't that they were able to say that to their agent, but it's that they were able to acknowledge that that will, that can take you out. You know what I mean?
Oh,
that
yeah.
can really affect you. And that they weren't afraid to admit that to themselves and then admit that to someone else.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think the world is much more understanding of anything to do with love and romance. Because we have, you know, the entire fucking history of the planet is built on people fucking and making babies and therefore falling in love and all that stuff. So
I was like, I wonder how, like, I was like, you get kind of distracted with love and shit. And then on the other hand, I was like, how many, is the reason why we get so eye roll when someone writes a show about a breakup is because there are so many to be written. Like, you know, because there have been so many and, like, we're a bit like, oh, we've seen
so
many. Oh,
you're like a stand-up show about a breakup.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? There's so many fucking shows about love.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's interesting. There's very few shows about being on your own or, like, I like playing Scrabble or something
how
like
that. How struggling that is.
Yeah.
Or fucking masturbating every night in the hopes that eventually the thing will grow arms and hold you. No one's chatting about it.
And by the thing, you mean a vibrato or your clitoris?
That's right. Also, which is really upsetting because I had a really nice wand. I don't want my clit to hold me back.
I just had it. See, I went way darker than
that.
You.
That sounds like the most elevated like version of fucking yourself.
Yeah, like a giant clit that can hold you.
Yeah, but you know, it is holding you, but from the inside. It's just
you're
holding
right.
you,
Oh, because it's like a network
it's like
of,
reaching,
like, it's like a network of, what's the word?
I wanted to reach up to my heart.
Oh, maybe it does.
Perhaps,
maybe
I hope
there's,
so.
Like, nerve endings going from your clit.
Yeah, all the way. That's really warm. That feels nice. That's nice to think
that's
about.
That's a nice thing to think about.
That's lovely. A little hug from the inside.
You should do a show about wanking. Yeah. Next year. Little testes for the first half.
We call it solo play.
Solo play.
It's really annoying because it's just like, it's like, oh, great, I came. Cool.
I mean, I'm more like, oh, great, I came.
Yeah. No, I'm fucking bored at this point. I'm like, will someone else do it for me?
So, besides your... I love it. Besides your Edinburgh show next year, which is going to be
called,
little testy.
Oh, great, I came.
Oh, great, I came. She came. She saw she got good.
I think
the
I would call
Bob
it...
Story.
I think if I did a little testes one, I think I would call it Balls Deep. An evening with Lil Testy.
I'm genuinely scared to come and see Lil Testy's now.
Yeah,
same. Because if I fancy him, then I'm going to be like, am I objectifying Kima?
Yeah, it's so weird. The answer is yes, and it's okay.
Okay, do I have
fucking
consent?
Love it.
My
mom once responded to a photo of Lil Testy's and was like, damn, son. And I was like, calm down.
Literally, son.
Yeah. And she was like, my friends love Lil Testy's. And I had to tell them to calm down.
That's creepy as fuck.
Straight up, 100%. So I guess what I'm saying is, you know my mom, so feel free.
So as long as it's not incesty.
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, I could be your mom, as we've established.
Yeah, like, yeah, you then. Might be my mom.
Biologically,
can I cast you as my mom? I'm trying to write a show about my mother-daughter relationship, and I think I found my mommy.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.